The electronic intifada.
Intifada electronic.
The electronic intifada.
This is the Electronic Intifada podcast. In Oakland, I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman for the Electronic Intifada. Palestinian news sources reported this week that 20 Palestinians, including at least six teenagers, were arrested by Israeli forces overnight on Thursday in the southern occupied West Bank town of Beit Omar, a day after 18 Palestinians were arrested and detained there. At the same time, Israeli forces carried out arrest raids in East Jerusalem, taking at least eight Palestinian youths, and at least four young men were arrested in Jenin and Nablus in the northern West Bank also on Thursday. Sami Doun, the Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, reported that Mohammed Awad of the Popular Committee Against the Wall and Settlements in Beit Omar described the attack as the largest military invasion in Beit Omar since 2004. In a report filed on the last day of 2014, Defense for Children International Palestine says that 2014 brought no respite for Palestinian children, whether entangled in the Israeli military detention system, living in residential areas in the Gaza Strip, or simply on their way to school. DCI Palestine has recently launched a campaign entitled No More Forgotten Lives, which aims to pursue accountability for Israel's killing, arrest, detention, and torture of Palestinian children. Joining us to talk about the current arrests of children and this campaign is Brad Parker, International Advocacy Officer and Attorney with Defense for Children International Palestine. Brad, thank you so much for being with us on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So can you talk about the arrest campaigns this week in occupied East Jerusalem and Beit Omar? What do these raids typically look like, and where are the children taken to?
So typically, Palestinian children are arrested during night raids like this by the Israeli forces. Forces come in the middle of the night, anywhere from 12 a.m. to 5 a.m., have a strong military presence, heavily armed soldiers, and bang on a child's door. Soldiers storm the home, check IDs. Usually, if a child's name is on the intelligence officer's list, child will be taken out of the house, typically handcuffed, blindfolded, have their hands tied with a plastic cord, ushered out into a military jeep. Sometimes kids face physical violence during that transfer process when they're in the back of the jeep. They'll be transferred around the West Bank, maybe detained at a military camp, spend the rest of the night into the morning really just waiting for whatever comes next. They don't really have a sense of what comes next. In the morning, they're typically brought to a police station inside a settlement where they appear in an interrogation room. Their parents haven't been notified where they've been taken, and if they don't have access to counsel, that interrogation is typically meant to coerce a confession, to have some type of evidence against the child that then can be used later on in the military courts. Once an interrogation finishes, if there's a confession, if there's not a confession, kids typically are transferred inside Israel to Megiddo prison in the north, and sometimes they can be held at Ofra prison just outside of Ramallah. So typically that's where kids go. Families don't know where they've been taken. Nobody really hears from them until they appear in a military court, which could be anywhere from 24 to 48 hours later. That's the first time they typically see their families. They first see an attorney. Because of that, they sometimes have confessions against them before they've even spoken with an attorney. So the typical situation is really not meant to find justice or seek justice. It's really about control and using the military court system and arrest to target youth to create that control, to keep kids from participating in weekly protests, from participating in anything that could be even somewhat political. And that's kind of the general case that we see based on our evidence gathering throughout the West Bank.
Brad, based on that kind of evidence gathering as well, can you tell us if the historic Israeli policies of torture, interrogation, and psychological trauma are still in effect, or if anything's changed over the past year?
Children still face ill treatment and torture It's widespread, systematic throughout the Israeli military detention system. Nothing really has changed over the past, you know, not only 1 year, but the past decade. It's really just become more and more a part of what Palestinian children that are arrested by the Israeli army encounter when they're in detention within custody of the Israeli forces.
And what kind of torture and interrogation does DCI Palestine typically see happening to these kids?
So in about 75% of cases, Palestinian kids arrested by the Israeli army face some type of physical violence during arrest, transfer, or interrogation. So it could be anything from being slapped into the face, being hit with a rifle, being hit with a helmet, you know, kicked, punched, beaten in the back of a Jeep. Interrogation, physical violence is a little bit less common over the past few years, but you still see kids being slapped, punched, shoved against walls during an interrogation. In about 20% of cases, kids are brought and held in solitary confinement solely for interrogation purposes. So this is a practice that's condemned by the international community, international law. International law equates it to torture, considers it a form of torture when solitary confinement is used against juveniles. So, you know, these are the typical scenarios and issues that kids face.
You're listening to the Electronic Intifada podcast. Visit us online at electronicintifada.net or follow us on Twitter at Intifada.
The Electronic Intifada.
Intifada Electronica.
Intifada Electronica.
The Electronic Intifada.
Brad, let's talk about 2014 in this context. Of course, in Gaza during the attack over the summer, more than 500 children were killed and hundreds of thousands remain in serious need of psychological treatment from multi-layered and repeated trauma. And in the occupied West Bank, including East Jerusalem, arrest raids like the one we've seen this week, along with incessant home demolitions, arrest and detention of parents and family members, and daily dehumanization of children continued unabated. Can you assess 2014 in terms of what needs to be done to protect the rights of Palestinian children and what your No More Forgotten Lives campaign aims to accomplish?
So 2014 was devastating for Palestinian kids in Gaza. Kids were killed at a higher rate than any time before. Their homes, schools, families were destroyed. You know, for 6-7-year-old kids, this is the fourth major military offensive that they've lived through. In the West Bank and East Jerusalem, we saw, you know, increasing levels of violence against Palestinian kids, demonstrations as part of military operations throughout the West Bank associated with arrests and search and rescue operations, etc. It was pretty devastating on all fronts. We saw increased deaths because of live fire used at protests and demonstrations. The May 15th Nakba Day protest outside of Ramallah resulted in two Palestinian teenagers being killed with live ammunition. It was caught on security camera footage that we were ultimately able to release and publicize. And then this campaign, No More Forgotten Lives, really attempts to take the evidence that we collected around those two deaths, tie it together with you know, complete lack of accountability and impunity for these violations, to highlight the number of kids that have been killed in 2014 and that really nothing has been done to hold anybody accountable. The May 15th killing of Nadim Noura was highly publicized because of the video that we released, and ultimately a soldier was arrested and implicated in his murder. But what we've seen is, instead of being charged with homicide and murder, some higher level offense, he's currently charged with manslaughter. He was held in custody, but now he's been released on house arrest. So I think even when there is something that resembles some type of accountability, it's still extremely weak and doesn't conform with international law standards. So the No More Forgotten Lives campaign really seeks to highlight this impunity and lack of accountability and show that Palestinian kids are being targeted, are being killed, and we need to speak out and demand justice, because the Israeli authorities are not interested in accountability for serious violations of children's rights.
Finally, Brad, how can people learn more about the campaign, and maybe what's one important thing or 10 important things that international civil society can do today to help?
To learn more about the campaign, you can go to www.nomoreforgottenlives.com or to our website, www.dci-palestine.org. Either website will have kind of more information on the campaign, more information about us as an organization and the things that we document. I think really just coordinating efforts and demanding justice and speaking about Palestinian rights, Palestinian children's rights, through a human rights lens rather than a political lens, it is really the most important thing that the international community can do. So often people defer to the politics and forget the human aspect of what the occupation is, what the occupation, what the impact the occupation has on families, on children. And that's really the thing that we try to highlight as an organization.
And again, that website is dci-palestine.org, and you can learn more about the No More Forgotten Lives campaign. Brad Parker, you're the International Advocacy Officer and attorney with Defense for Children International Palestine. Thank you so much for your work and for being with us on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Thanks, Donna.
And that's it for the Electronic Intifada podcast. For news, information, cultural features, and reviews, and pointed opinion and analysis, visit us online at electronicintifada.net. You can also post comments and sign up for our daily email digest. Follow us on Twitter at Intifada. Radio stations are free to use this podcast, and on behalf of all of us at the Electronic Intifada, thank you for listening.